Our Father in heaven, the one who reigns in glory and in splendor, the great, the almighty God, and the one in whom we can be strong, though we are weak in ourselves. Father, we praise you and we worship you. We thank you for this day of worship, this time that we can have together, that we can come to your presence to worship you in this way. Because in your love and goodness, you have washed us, you have redeemed us. We thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great potential that is possible in each of our lives, because you are a great God. Father, we ask that you help us that we may grow in appreciation of you, our knowledge of you and your ways, what you desire and require of us, and how we can grow well in you. We thank you for the scriptures that you have inspired and preserved for our learning. We thank you for the Spirit of God that teaches us, that leads us into all truth. And we thank you for one another, for church life, that we can grow together, learn together, that we may be able to rise up to your high calling. We ask, Father, that even this day, you will have the freedom to speak to us, that we may be transformed by the renewal of our minds, and that our hearts and spirit may more and more be one with you. Father, we look to you for our time together. We pray for your protection. We ask that you will not allow the powers of darkness in any way to harass, disturb, or to hinder us in our understanding, perception, the reception of your word, or in any way to hinder the communication of the truth. We unite our hearts together as we look to you, and we ask that you be pleased to speak to us, to bless us, even as we worship you in our hearts. We look to you with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 142nd message, and we are the Lord Jesus Christ, the 25th message, and today we carry on with the subtopic, the truly strong, true strength and power, the second message. We have looked at how the Lord Jesus Christ may at times appear weak and helpless, especially in the events surrounding the cross, and yet we know that at all times the Lord Jesus was truly strong, the Almighty God. On the other hand, there are many in this world who may appear strong, powerful, but in reality they are weak. In one sense, they are strong in a worldly sense, but from the true perspective, from the perspective of God's kingdom, they are weak. And this is so true in the lives of believers. If we are not careful, at times, we may also, as we look at believers, think they are weak when in fact they are strong, and likewise think they are strong when in fact they are weak. We can also be mistaken about our own lives. At times, we may feel very weak and helpless. But if we learn how to look at things with the right perspective and to respond properly, we can be truly strong, even in contexts where we may appear or feel that we are weak. And we have tried to understand the meaning of truly strong, the one who can really persevere in the truth, to have the strength to live out the truth, to live out what the Lord desires of us, to be able to accomplish the perfect will of God in our lives, to be able to live our lives such that we can meaningfully participate, contribute to the fulfillment of God's purposes. The people of the world desire very much, we can say crave, to be powerful, to be strong, although in many of those contexts it is rather undesirable, at times you can say very distasteful. and should cause us to be very concerned with the abuses of power in the world. But at the same time, for us as believers, we need to realize and recognize the importance of being truly strong. In fact, it is vital. We want to live out our lives well, to fulfill God's purposes, to be an overcomer. It is vital to be truly strong. And so in this regard, it would be very relevant for us to ask the question, how can we be truly strong? How can we be truly strong? What does it involve? How does it come about? And these are some of the issues we'll be concentrating on for today's message. As a preliminary remark, I want to make this observation that to be strong in the Lord, we can divide it or consider it from two angles or involves two aspects. One is to be strong in the Lord for specific occasions. The other is to be strong in a general sense, which is more important. To be strong in a more stable sense. But we can also be strong for specific occasions. Example of this, we can look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verse 6, how David strengthened himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, in this context, starting from verse 1, you see here, it's a context where the Amalekites had made a raid on Ziklag, burnt it with fire, and took captive the women and the children. That's what the first three verses tells us. And verse 4, David and the people were with him when they came on the scene. David together with his men, they were not at the scene when the Amalekites raided this place, Ziklag, where their wives and children were. So when they came to this place, they found that this place had been raided, burned, their wives and children captured. And we see here in verse 4, David and the people who were with him, they lifted up their voices, they lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. They were very distressed. You can imagine the situation, the context, very distressful. And David's two wives also were taken captive. And verse 6 tells us that moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. It was a rather distressful situation. And in such a context, a person may feel rather discouraged. But in this context, it was very important to be strong. It was a specific occasion, specific context. And here, the scriptures tells us how David became strong. He strengthened himself in the Lord. So he strengthened himself in the Lord. It was a specific context. Although we can also say that David generally is also strong, truly strong generally. But it's possible for us in various contexts, whether under stress, facing difficulties, to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, to be strong for that particular occasion, even though generally we may not be strong. And even if we are generally strong, it is still needful on specific occasions to be strong in that context, because we may not be strong in a particular context, even if we are generally strong. So being strong can be a specific context for specific occasions, but the other is general, generally strong. And the general is more important. Is being strong, is more stable. There's depth, quality, of varying degrees, of course. And the two are related. If we are generally strong, it's much easier for us to be strong for specific occasions. If in the situations that we go through, we learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, we can also grow in strength to become stronger generally. But this is not sufficient for understanding of how to be strong in the Lord, especially in the more general, stable saints. And so I want to consider together with you more in detail what it involves and how it comes about, so that we may be overcomers and able to live out God's perfect will for our lives. Before I elaborate, I want to summarize the characteristics of the truly strong. I'll summarize first and then elaborate and look at the verses in the scriptures on these issues. I'll summarize some of the characteristics of the truly strong, some of the factors and the qualities involved. As a preliminary remark, we can say that one who is truly strong, or to be truly strong, what it involves, that truly strong, especially the general sense of the more stable kind, is closely related to the moral, spiritual stature or maturity that's attained. The moral, spiritual stature of a believer. There are various aspects that are helpful for us to be aware of in the characteristics of the truly strong. One aspect is the width and depth of knowledge. We may at times not be very conscious of that knowledge has a significant bearing on strength. Not just whether we have knowledge, but the depth of our knowledge, the depth, the grasp of especially important areas of truth. The other is width. How wide is our knowledge of the truth? Width and depth of knowledge, closely related to this, though not identical, is wisdom. The wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge well, so that we know how to respond to various situations, to respond to God in the context of spiritual warfare and so on. Knowledge, wisdom. Another area important is faith, true faith, biblical faith. Another aspect is joy. Joy and strength as a best relationship. Another area that is important is quality of prayer life. The quality of our prayer life. All these are areas that we must concentrate upon if we want to be truly strong. As I said, I'll elaborate a little afterwards. The quality of prayer life includes being prayerful, that we have a prayerful spirit all the time, which is closely related to that fellowship with God, that dependence on God. But it's not just whether we are conscious of God and whether we are prayerful, but the quality of it, the depth of that fellowship with God as we go through each day. The other is the power in prayer. Have we developed our prayer life such that when we pray, there's power in our prayer? Which, yes, it bears a relationship with the moral, spiritual stature attained, but it also involves our understanding of how to develop our prayer life, because it can be neglected. As I mentioned these various areas, do bear in mind that it's possible for us to be lopsided in our development. Some areas we may have developed better, other areas we may have neglected. But they bear a relationship with one another. Any area that's neglected will tend to affect other areas. it's helpful for us to realize the need for wholesome development in every aspect of our moral spiritual development. Power in prayer, another area that is very important, is quality of character. The quality of our character. This is closely related to being conformed to the image of Christ, or conformed to the character of God. The quality of our character has to do with to what degree we are conformed to God's character. Not just any kind of character, but the character of God. This is closely related to the depth of our oneness with God. This is also closely related to the degree that Christ formed in us. Degree that Christ has been formed in us. The quality of our character is very important, because this is closely related to depth of fellowship with God, freedom for God to teach us, to work in us, to strengthen us, the Spirit of God working in us and through us. What kind of character attitudes that we have. A brief mention of the implications for our being, related to being truly strong in the Lord. A major aspect is the development of having a strong, healthy spirit. The spirit is strong and is healthy. And a renewed mind. These are two key issues in our being. There's a direct bearing on being strong. Related to it would be self-control. Self-control in the truth. When you have a renewed mind and have a strong, healthy spirit, you help us to have good self-control. Self-control in the truth, which includes bringing the body and the emotion under subjection, is also related to the issue of the will. The degree, the quality of the will is committed to God and truth. Again, I see these various areas as closely related to and following, flowing forth from a strong, healthy spirit and a renewed mind. That's why I emphasize the two key issues are the strong, healthy spirit and a renewed mind. If we have a strong, healthy spirit and a renewed mind, we will be able to have and develop quality of will committed to God and truth, and able to persevere in faith, steadfast in the truth, able to fight a good fight of faith. And an important characteristic of the truly strong, apart from spiritual stature, we can elaborate by saying there's strength and stamina. Helpful to recognize this, because it's not just strong momentarily, but you have the stamina to carry on. And this is not easy unless you are truly strong. You have the stamina to carry on, especially in the midst of spiritual pressures, difficulties. Some are able to persevere for a while, but only the truly strong will have the stamina to carry on well. And here I now want to raise this issue, the strength and stamina and competence in spiritual warfare. This is an important aspect to bear in mind, which, the Lord willing, I'll elaborate afterwards. Competence in spiritual warfare. The truly strong an important reflection of it is the competence in spiritual warfare. I will now go on to elaborate and look at some of the passages in the scriptures and some of these characteristics that we have referred to. Wisdom and knowledge relevant to being strong. A verse that's relevant for us to look at, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5. As I said, sometimes we will not straight away link knowledge and wisdom with strength. They seem to be different areas, but they bear a strong relationship. Part of being strong actually has to do with knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 24, verse 5. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. If you are wise, you are strong. A wise man is strong. Although being truly strong is not just wisdom, but wisdom is an important aspect. It contributes to being truly strong. And if a man of knowledge, it increases power. As we go on, afterwards you'll see that we'll come again and again to this theme of true knowledge and wisdom and its significance, and the issue of being truly strong. We look at verse 5 in Proverbs 24. To a certain degree, this is also reflected in the context of the world. Worldly wisdom and getting their own way, strong in their own sense, and worldly knowledge, worldly power. But we need to appreciate this meaningfully in the context of God's kingdom and as a believer. True wisdom and true knowledge, and how they contribute and are an essential part of being truly strong. True knowledge is very important because it's knowledge of the truth that will help us to understand what is truth and to know how to walk in the truth. And to be truly strong, we need to walk in the truth. And we need to know what is the truth, then we can walk in it. We also need to know God and know the ways of God. Then we can respond to God and to walk in it. So knowledge is very important. Likewise, in spiritual warfare, the wiles of the evil one, deception, very major problem, and a major means by which the evil one seeks to defeat us. So if we are ignorant, foolish, then we are easily overcome. So knowledge, true knowledge, as well as wisdom to know how to understand what is happening, and to know how to respond, to take our stand, and to know how to overcome the evil one. True knowledge, wisdom becomes important. Likewise, as we go through various situations in life, the truly strong is able to live out the truth well in the situations that he goes through. But how to go through the situation well? We need to understand the meaning of what we are going through. What are the issues involved? What is happening? This is where true knowledge and wisdom becomes important. To be able to perceive the meaning of what is going on, what is it that really matters in that situation, and then how to respond, and how to know how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, and to face the situation well. Now, in this regard, I want to emphasize that the truth, the knowledge and truth here we are talking about, has to do with biblical truth. Truth in accordance with God's revelation. That's one aspect that's important, not just worldly knowledge. But the other is that when we talk about true knowledge, it is not just recognition. Recognition is only one aspect of it. And here I'm going not just mental. One is mental understanding of things. To go beyond that is a recognition that goes beyond the mental. But here I want to emphasize that it goes beyond just recognition. It's beyond the mental, and it goes beyond recognition of the truth, even from a Christian perspective. And that is the knowledge that we are talking about here. The one who is truly, one who is grounded in truth and knowledge, and a wise man, has to do with truth incorporated in us. That kind of knowledge. That doesn't mean that recognition of truth is not part of it. It is part of it, but it's not just recognition of truth. And that's where I want to refer you to this verse in Romans chapter 12, which is helpful for us to appreciate it from this angle. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul urges us to consecrate our lives to God in the first verse. And the second verse, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." He says, we should not be conformed to this world. This follows from a life consecrated to God. We shouldn't be conformed to this world. How? A major aspect has to do with transformation. And a major aspect of transformation is the renewing of our minds. Now, renewing of our minds has a lot to do with what we are talking about here of true knowledge and wisdom. This is a major aspect of transformation. And we know transformation has to do with growth, development of our being transformed. But here, it is helpful to appreciate the renewing of our minds. One aspect is quite clear, it's not mental. It has to do with spiritual understanding and perception. But it is helpful to realize that the renewing of our mind here that has to do with transformation goes beyond just perception, recognition of truth, but it has to do with a moral response to it. You can say a moral commitment to it, an adoption of it, a reception of it, an absorption of this truth, aligning our hearts with it. In that sense, incorporated into us. It's a question of degree, but the degree of our reception, absorption of the truth into our lives has a strong bearing on true renewal. And transformation and being truly strong. True knowledge and wisdom. You'll notice also that if we have absorbed the truth into our lives in this way, it will also make a significant difference as to how we are able to respond to situations, perceive accurately, and to know how to respond with wisdom. Because one who merely recognizes truth in the mind, of course the lowest is just the mental part, which doesn't really help. But even if you recognize the truth in your minds, but you have not properly absorbed it into your lives, you will find that as you go through situations of life, it becomes much more difficult. You are in a different position from someone who have deeply absorbed this into their lives. When it has become a part of you, the ease with which you are able then to perceive the issues of life when you are confronted with them, when you go through them, or when you're confronted by the evil one, is different. Because that the truth has become a part of you. Your appreciation of it as well as the reality of it in your hearts, and then your ability to perceive will be different. You will be in a better position to perceive the situation accurately and to know how to respond to that situation. So this kind of knowledge, this kind of wisdom, is knowledge and wisdom at the kind of level that God desires of us. But bear in mind that perception, recognition of truth is also part of true knowledge. The next characteristic of faith. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. This is a verse that we have reflected on at some length in the message on resting in God. But I just want to highlight some aspects that is relevant for our consideration here. Verse 15, "Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said." Sorry, I'll read that again. "For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you were not willing." The "you were not willing" refers to the Israelites. But the critical part, the truth that we want to concentrate upon is this: in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. And notice the introduction to these words: "For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said." We need to pay attention to these very meaningful words that can be very helpful for our lives. We'll start with the second part of it. In quietness and trust is your strength. So we want to be strong. This verse, the truth here can apply to both specific occasions as well as in a general sense. In a specific situation, you want to be strong to face that situation, then trust, faith, is important. But we'll also see that faith and trust is also a very important aspect for us to be strong in a general sense. But before we carry on, notice also this part that is important, because that is the line preceding "in quietness and trust it's your strength. In repentance and rest you shall be saved." Sometimes we try very hard to trust God, to exercise faith, and we are not able to. A very important aspect for us to be able to properly exercise faith is we must first put right our lives before God. Repentance. So if there are things that are not right in our lives, we need to put right. If not, we may try very hard to exercise faith. For example, if there are major areas of sin, if our attitudes in the situation, significant things that are not right, bitterness and so on, there are things that are not right, we refuse to put them right. But here we keep on trying very hard to exercise faith in God. We may find that it does not work. So we need to put right our lives. The other is to see the close relationship between faith that we are considering here and wisdom and knowledge that we've just considered. It's helpful to see that when these two are combined, it can become very powerful. First, the recognition of the truth, knowledge, recognition of the truth, knowledge of the will of God, followed by faith, linked to faith. Faith in the truth, faith in God, true faith. You'll find that faith in the truth will always work. So the linkage of these two is very critical, which Paul tells us in Thessalonians. It's faith in the truth. These two must be linked together. Then it becomes very powerful. Because we exercise faith in what is not true, it will not work. Likewise, if we know the truth, but we do not exercise faith, it still will not work. So we need to recognize the truth. But having known the truth, we must exercise our faith in the truth. So when we go through a certain situation, we need to perceive the situation accurately. We need to understand what are the principles involved. What is the posture to adopt? What is the correct way to go through that? How to respond in truth? How to? What is the truth in that situation? What is the will of God for us? But having recognized that, we must then exercise faith. No matter what the outward appearance may be, no matter how difficult or even impossible it may appear, No matter how people may look at us, think of us, if we were to go through with that kind of attitude and posture, even if people would laugh at us, misunderstand us, or even when we look at our own frailties, we must exercise faith. And faith in the truth will work. Very often, in many situations, we are not able to go through well. We stumble, we falter. We are weak in a negative sense because we are anxious, troubled, worried, a lot of doubts within us. We are not able to properly exercise faith in God and to be able to trust God that the principles He has revealed to us in the Scriptures, the promises He has given to us, if we fulfill the conditions, we can exercise faith and it will work. So when we learn to exercise faith in that way, we will be strong. This is something that we can experience in our own lives. We can feel very weak and in reality actually weak, stumbling, faltering. And yet when we are helped to recognize the issues involved and encouraged and helped to learn to exercise true faith, we find ourselves growing strong in that context, strong to face that situation. So that is strong in the particular context for the specific occasion. But even more important is for us to learn how to be strong generally in this area of faith, trusting God. The kind of faith in God, the faith, exercising the faith in the principles of truth that God has revealed to us. As we learn to walk in truth, to exercise our faith in God, knowing that what He has revealed to us in the Scriptures, if we walk in it, if we trust Him, it will work. He will see us through. It will be meaningful. Our lives will not be in vain. Although at the outward level, at the appearance level, we may seem to be a failure, but we know and we can exercise faith. Do we have the confidence that as we trust God, as we walk in the truth, our lives will not be lived in vain? There'll be meaning, quality, and true accomplishment, true success, whatever the outward appearance. And so it's helpful for us to go beyond just learning to exercise faith in a particular occasion, specific situation, which we must continually do, but to learn to adopt a restful faith in God. And the major truths that God has revealed to us, if we adopt it in our lives, we can have that quiet confidence in God as we go through all of life. And even before the situations confront us, to have a legitimate, healthy confidence in God, which is very important. Help us to be stable, to be strong in Him. It is legitimate. It is proper. In fact, it is very important for us to be able to have that kind of confidence in God as we face the issues of life, whatever they may be, whatever the evil one may seek to do. It is important for us to be able, as we learn to have a contrite spirit, put right our lives, consecrate ourselves to live by the truth, to have a quiet confidence, a firm confidence, an unshakable confidence in the Lord and in the truth. That as we live by the truth, in dependence on God, we will be able to overcome. Joy. Perhaps you need not turn to it unless you desire to. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Many of us would probably be familiar with this verse. The reading of the law, the people were conscious of their failures. They were weeping. They were grieved. There's a proper place for grief, mourning. The Lord Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. But in that context, Nehemiah was also concerned that the people may become discouraged, and if not careful, that kind of weeping can also turn into worldly sorrow and sap away strength and true quality of life. It can be negative. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And to realize that if we learn how to rejoice in the Lord, it strengthens us. And this is something that is helpful to recognize as we go through a situation. We find it difficult. It may tend to discourage us. It may be distressing. It may tend to discourage us. Let us realize that it is not just something that comes or goes. Distress just, or discouragement just come upon us, or joy just come upon us. No, it is something that we can choose. When Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, he's not saying that something just simply comes upon you. He's asking us to rejoice. It's an instruction, an exhortation. It is a posture that we can adopt. We can choose to rejoice in God. We may not feel happy in the sense that the emotions, that there is no pain and the difficulties they experience, but we can choose the posture of rejoicing in God. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's something, a posture that we can maintain all the time, however difficult, painful the situation may be. And if we learn to adopt that posture, it will strengthen us and enable us to go through that situation better. But not only for specific occasions, to learn how to rejoice in the Lord always as a continuing posture. So realize that if we learn how to rejoice in the Lord, it facilitates God's working in our lives. The other is, it also facilitates the functioning of our faculties. Our faculties are more effective. When we are discouraged, depressed, we will find that we cannot think so well. We cannot exercise our spirit so well. Our spirit becomes stifled. The will, our choosing, the truth, it becomes affected. So we must choose not to be depressed. We can. By choosing to trust God, to rejoice in Him. To realize that in God we can always rejoice. Even if there are things that are very distressful, or we can say negative things are taking place. For example, sins of people, negative acts of people. We do not rejoice in those negative things. But we can continue to rejoice in God, in His goodness, in His sovereignty. As we trust Him, then He will continue to cause all things to work together for good to those who love Him. And with that kind of recognition, posture, we can go through all kinds of situations knowing that we can rejoice in Him, because there's meaning. Something positive can come out of any situation for those who love God. And so we can rejoice in Him. And adopting that positive posture of rejoicing in God is very important in helping us to go through well, and for the Spirit of God to have greater freedom to work in us and to help us to go through that situation well. The next area, prayer. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36. The Lord Jesus talking about the last days and just prior to the coming again of the Son of Man, His second coming. In verse 34, He tells us to be on guard that our hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation, the drunkenness and worries of this life, and the day come on you suddenly like a trap. That it doesn't happen to us like others on the who are on the earth. But He says, verse 36, but rather than worried, weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, He says, but keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength. So we need to be vigilant and praying. And notice here is praying, not just a specific one-time thing, momentary. It's a continuing thing. Praying. Just as keep on the alert at all times, you can also say praying at all times. Keep on the alert at all times, praying. Alert and praying. Praying in order that you may have strength. We are also familiar with this verse in Matthew 26, verse 41. Keep watching and praying. Let's look at Matthew 26. This is also spoken by the Lord Jesus in a context of significant pressure, spiritual pressures about to come on the disciples. And the Lord Jesus told them, it's a verse that we are familiar with, Matthew 26, verse 41. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit is willing. Which of the 26, verse 41. Keep watching and praying. A continuing thing. If we want to be strong in the Lord, we want to be strong in facing situations, we need to keep watching and praying. And especially during times of stress, pressure, difficulties, testings, that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Helpful to realize the need to keep on praying, because though the Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. We are very conscious of our weaknesses in the flesh. But there's an answer to it. We need not be overcome. We need not yield to the weaknesses of the flesh. Often we find ourselves failing, though we want to do the right thing. We want to overcome. We do not want to give in to the temptation. We do not want to be overcome by the circumstances. The Spirit is willing to obey the Lord, to be faithful to Him. But we find that the flesh is weak. What is the answer? Prayer. Through prayer, we can be joined to the Almighty God. We can then know the strength of God, the power of God, and the Lord enabling us to overcome. The flesh is weak. That is all right. If we are praying, depending on God, and knowing the power, the strength of the Lord, the flesh is always weak. The Spirit willing is not sufficient. We must know the Lord enabling us as we pray. We can look at this verse from two angles. One angle has to do with the praying that enables the Spirit of God to work in us, to enable us to go through that situation well. But the other, we can also look at it in a more general sense, a more long-term thing, is that we need to continually be alert, watchful, and praying. And the praying that strengthens our relationship with God, that strengthens our life, that contributes to the quality of our prayer life, is a continuing praying. And as we learn to pray and continue praying and being vigilant, then we will find that the Spirit is willing becomes very meaningful, because the Lord will strengthen our spirit. We will grow, we will develop, and we will be able to overcome, even though the flesh is weak. So this verse, keep watching and praying, emphasizes to us the importance of being prayerful and to maintain a prayerful spirit, especially during times of intensity in spiritual opposition, attacks of the evil one, times of stress, difficulties. But we need to realize that being in the context of spiritual warfare, we need to be prayerful at all times, but especially during times of testing, severe testing. This verse also helps us to recognize the linkage between prayer and being strong, and to be strengthened in the Lord. How to be strengthened in the Lord is through prayer. As we pray, we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Just now we saw in 1 Samuel 30 how David strengthened himself in the Lord. The context there does not tell us how he strengthened himself in the Lord, but it's likely David strengthened himself in the Lord. A major aspect of it has to do with his posture, his attitude, his looking to God, his trusting God, and prayer, as he strengthens himself in the Lord through prayer and dependence on God, exercising faith in Him. Prayer, a prayer of faith with knowledge and wisdom. You see the relationship of all this. And when we learn to pray in faith, with wisdom, with knowledge, in that context, we can properly rejoice in God always and have proper confidence in God. Paul also often prayed for the believers. And we'll now look at Paul's prayer for the Ephesians to be strengthened with power. We'll see in Colossians, he also prayed for the Colossians to be strengthened with all power. But let's now look at this very helpful verse in Ephesians chapter 4. Helpful on this subject we are considering, but also the verses linked to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, strengthened with all power. This is a helpful passage on this subject of being strong in the Lord and the issues involved. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16. Before we look more closely at this passage, let us recognize that here is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, through the spirit of God, that is. Verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father," verse 16, "that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man." So here is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians to be strengthened with power. So here we see the linkage between prayer and being strong, strengthened. But notice here, it's not only that we can pray for ourselves to be strengthened, we can also be strengthened by the prayers of others. The prayers of others can strengthen us. The other is that we can also pray for others, as Paul prayed for others, that they may be strengthened. So this is prayer for ourselves, to be strengthened in the Lord, to be strong in Him. But prayers of others help us. We can also learn to pray for others to be strengthened. Let us now look at this verse, verse 16. Paul praying to God the Father, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Notice here, the riches of his glory. Paul introduces this concept to help us appreciate the significance of what he's about to communicate to us. To be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. That is, what Paul is praying here is very central, very major, very important. And he links this to the riches of God's glory. Also notice here, to be strengthened with power is through his spirit. It's the Spirit of God who strengthens us. We cannot be strong in ourselves. The Spirit of God who strengthens us. And Paul says, in the inner man. So true strength is not the physical muscles, how well we've developed them. It's not how much mental knowledge, worldly knowledge that we have, how many skills, talents, capabilities. But it's being strengthened in the inner man. Strengthened with all power. Strengthened with power. All power is in Colossians. Strengthened with power according to the riches of God's glory. Strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Now this also helps us to recognize that true strength has a lot to do with the inner man, the development of the inner man, the maturity, the spiritual stature of the person, the development of the inner man. If we read on, Paul says in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. It's helpful for us here to see the relationship between strong in the Lord and a few other areas. One is being strengthened, linked to the inner man. And when the inner man is properly developed, it is strong. We are strong. The other is, notice the relationship here of being strong and the development of the inner man with character. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you being rooted and grounded in love. Love is a major aspect of character. The other is, notice here, faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's relationship with faith. The other, relationship with God. It's also related to the quality of our relationship with God. It's a mutual relationship. When we are strong, we are able to develop further our character, to develop our quality of our relationship with God, but also the other way around. The quality of relationship with God, the quality of our character, our love, will have a bearing on how strong we are in the Lord. It's a mutual relationship. And we'll see this more as I look afterwards at two other helpful passages on this subject. So notice here, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We know that Christ already dwells in the believers. So Paul here cannot be praying that Christ may dwell in their hearts in the mere sense of Christ being in them, because Christ already in them. But here he's talking about the direction. They're consistent with Christ dwelling in them, more and more Christ may be formed in them, the quality of the relationship, the submission to the Lordship, the freedom with which Christ can express himself in the hearts and lives of the believers. So the quality of relationship with God, Christ formed in the believer, oneness with the Lord. And he goes on to say, the fullness, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. The relationship with God, the oneness with God. Notice that all these are related to what we mentioned just now about the characteristics of the truly strong. They are closely related. But notice here also another aspect that is related to the issue of being strong in the Lord and the development of our inward man, of the inner man. Knowledge, understanding, comprehend. Verse 18. Verse 16 talks about being rooted and grounded in love. And verse 18 says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth, length, height, and depth? Comprehend. Knowledge, understanding, perception. Notice here in verse 18, it doesn't tell you what is the object that you are comprehending. Maybe we start from verse 14, the prayer, and then verse 16, that the Lord will grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, then that Christ may dwell in your hearts, then being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. But to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of what? It's not stated here. What is the object that you're comprehending? One interpretation that often people interpret it is because verse 17 talks about rooted and grounded in love, and verse 19 also says, and to know the love of God, they take it to mean comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of love. That is possible, but personally I think it doesn't fit in so well, because here it doesn't say comprehend length, breadth and height of love. Not only that, the love being rooted and grounded in love seems to be a link to this able to comprehend something there. To comprehend the breadth, length, height and depth. And then verse 19 goes on to say, and to know the love of Christ. Although it's possible that Paul may be talking about love here, personally I think a more meaningful interpretation of what is this comprehension is to link it with what Paul is very absorbed in this passage here in chapter 3 of Ephesians. You can see in one sense Paul is very absorbed in this whole epistle to the Ephesians, and also in other epistles. In fact, very much in his heart, at the heart of it all, Paul is very concerned about the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose and the issues involved. So verse 8, Paul talks how to me the least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And this unfathomable riches of Christ is linked to what? To bring to light administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. So the unfathomable riches of Christ is linked to the mystery, is linked to the manifold wisdom of God being made known through the church, is linked to the eternal purpose of God. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Paul says in verse 8, therefore I ask you not to lose heart. For this reason I bow my knees. So it is linked to this eternal purpose of God, the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose and what it all means, and then fellow reaches of Christ, the administration of this mystery and the manifold wisdom of God being made known through the church. Paul talks about praying for the believers to be strengthened through his spirit in the inner man, and then being rooted and grounded in love, they may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. It seems to me here the length, what is the breadth, length and height and depth, has to do with the comprehension of the eternal purpose of God and the issues involved. How to fulfill it, how it is carried out in Christ Jesus, how the manifold wisdom of God can be manifested through the church, the unfathomable riches of Christ. Seems to me it's a more meaningful way of appreciation. The whole way Paul described breadth, length, height and depth. And when we are grounded, rooted and grounded in love, is a major issue in order to appreciate all these things. And when we appreciate all these things, it will be linked again to verse 19, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Because when we properly appreciate and enter into what God really intends for us, it has to do a lot to do with love. And the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and how we can be filled up to all the fullness of God. In verse 19. So this issue of comprehension, knowledge, understanding, in this context, if this is a correct interpretation, but even if, but this issue is not dependent on the interpretation here, one of the highlights here is the issue of the importance of knowledge, and not just a limited kind of knowledge. Is a total wholesome knowledge, the whole counsel of God, especially the major issues that pertain to what is very much in God's heart. If we understand these things properly, then we learn how to exercise true faith combined with healthy prayer life. All these are closely related with being truly strong in the Lord and the development of the inner man and the work of the Spirit of God and love. character. All these are closely related, and the fullness of God, our experience of the fullness of God in that kind of direction. Now, another passage, we look at two other passages that are rather helpful in this regard, and you see the close relationship. They are all written by the Apostle Paul, and we know what is it that's very much in the heart of Paul. The central issues are all linked together. In the same epistle, the next chapter, we see Paul in chapter 4 go on to encourage the believers to walk worthy of the Lord. And then he went on to talk about how Christ ascended and gave gifts after talking about the oneness in the body. And then he went on from verses 11 to 16 to talk about how we can be equipped and growing well in the Lord. Now I want now to first draw attention to this part about maturity and spiritual stature in verse 13. Equipping the saints until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now that is the direction of full maturity. But the context here is talking about spiritual stature and maturity. But notice that this is linked to verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves. That is, spiritual stature and maturity, wholesome development, leads to the direction, in the direction that we will no longer be children. That means we are not so weak, so easily faltering, so easily deceived, so easily tossed here and there. The implication here is strength. Being strong in the Lord. Spiritual stature. Being strong in the Lord. That we are no longer children, tossed here and there. And notice here, a major area of problem, or a significant area of problem, when we are tossed here and there, has to do with false doctrines and deception. And being tricked. He says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Carried about by every, or rather, tossed here and there by waves, although waves here, we need not restrict it solely to the issue of false doctrine. Deception can be by various other things in life. We are buffeted, not able to stand firm, shaken. But you see here, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Here, straight away, the issue of false doctrine. It can be trickery of men. Men may be involved, but more importantly, notice here, the craftiness, deceitful scheming, that has a lot to do with the powers of darkness and the evil one. False doctrine. The evil one is the origin of deception. He is described in Genesis chapter 3 as a crafty one, and through the scriptures and the revelation, the deceiver. He deceives us through wrong doctrines and many other different ways. And to be mature, to grow up to be a mature man, so that we are no longer like children tossed here and there. One area that Paul highlights is that we will not then be easily deceived. Now this leads us to the recognition. Not to be easily deceived by false doctrine and so on, one major issue has to do with knowledge and wisdom. Although that's not the only issue, but knowledge and wisdom. So in this context here, we can see again the relationship between knowledge and wisdom and growing unto maturity. Knowledge and wisdom. And it's not dead knowledge. It's alive and able to respond to the craftiness, not only of men, but also the works of the evil one and false doctrine, and not easily tossed to and fro. Knowledge and wisdom, important. Knowledge and wisdom is an important aspect of maturity. It's also an important aspect of equipping. Because verse 11, preceding verses mentions how God gave gifts to men. And then verse 11, Paul says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints. So to equip the saints until we become mature, the measure of stature belongs to the fullness of grace, as a result, not tossed to and fro. So a major aspect of the equipping is that we will not be deceived. A major aspect of the equipping is knowledge and wisdom. That's not all that there is to it, but it's a major aspect. I mention this because I want to emphasize the importance of knowledge and wisdom if we truly love the Lord. Of course, that is a prerequisite. Without true love of God, we also will not be able to gain, to make good progress in true knowledge. But we love the Lord, true knowledge and wisdom is very important, and a very important aspect of our growth unto maturity. It is also an important aspect of this close relationship with God, oneness with the Lord Christ formed in us. As verse 16, or rather verse 15, Paul tells us, but speaking the truth in love, or be truthful, speaking the truth or be truthful in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. This speaks to us of the kind of relationship with Christ, as well as Christ being formed in us. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. As the body is being built up, fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, is linked to the growing up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So knowledge, wisdom, growth in spiritual stature, being strong in the Lord, all these are closely related together with knowledge, wisdom, the kind of relationship with the Lord, the quality of relationship with God, the oneness with the Lord, the fullness of Christ. Verse 13 tells us about growing into a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. How does that come about? As Christ is formed in us, and as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, our oneness with the Lord. So notice these various passages that we are referring to. These major issues we are considering, they are all linked together because they bear a vital relationship with one another. Let's look at one last passage in Colossians chapter 1. I've mentioned from time to time the major truths in the scriptures are closely linked to one another because all truth bears a strong relationship with one another, especially the major areas. They're closely linked, intertwined. There's an organic unity. Colossians chapter 1. Here again, Paul's prayer. Verse 9, he says how, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. And then we notice Paul prayed for them in verse 11, for the Colossians, that they be strengthened with all power. So Paul prayed that they be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Again, the linkage, not only with God's power, but God's glorious might. So it's not just a little taste of the power of God. Strengthen a little. But Paul wants us, it is God's desire, that we realize there's a long way for us to go, to be really strong with the Lord, to really experience what it means to be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. Again, Paul's prayer, the importance of prayer, linked to God's glorious might, and see here the linkage with steadfastness or perseverance and patience, endurance, strengthened all power for the attaining of all steadfastness. The steadfastness here clearly has to do with being able to take our stand, to carry on faithfully, to walk in the truth and able to carry on even though buffeted, disturbed, attacked, pressurized, attacks of the evil one, the tauntings of men, whatever it may be, in the midst of difficulties. We need to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that we can then go through with patience, endurance, and with steadfastness, with perseverance. But now, again, see the linkage. In this passage is even more direct in the direction that I want to communicate, and that is the importance of knowledge, wisdom, understanding, leading to being strengthened with all power. Notice Paul begins a prayer with, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Notice again the importance of knowledge. But it's not any kind of knowledge. It's a knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom, knowledge, knowledge of God's will, so that then this leads to walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power. When we are filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, it has a bearing on how we move in a direction of being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. As we understand God and God's will and spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding, it helps us to know how to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And the knowledge and wisdom itself will already contribute and be a part of the truly strong. But also, see here, before being strengthened all power, Paul in his prayer, besides mentioning being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, again, see here, there is not a limited form in all spiritual wisdom and knowledge, that he wants us to have that sense of direction and never self-satisfied, but carry out, to press on, to move on. But notice here, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The knowledge, the wisdom is linked to working it out, living it out, and you need to know in order to live it out so that you may walk. But when you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, according to His will, straight away the issue of character will also come in. Walking in truth, living in truth, manner worthy of the Lord, our character. We live in a manner worthy of the Lord, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, according to God's will. The character, to please Him in all respects. Again, the character part would be a major aspect of it. This can then result in bearing fruit in every good work. And as we learn to live in this way, we will continue to increase in the knowledge of God. Not just knowledge of God's ways, but the knowledge of God, which is closely linked to that quality of relationship with God. And verse 12, notice also, is linked to giving thanks. Giving thanks is also closely related to joy and rejoicing in the Lord. Giving thanks, joy in the Lord, gratitude to God. So we see here the various aspects, they are all closely linked. And this knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, and walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, straight away also communicates to us that oneness with God. If you bear in mind these various passages, and reflect upon it, you realize that such a life, strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, such a person walking according to the Spirit, according to the will of the Lord, will of course manifest the fruit of the Spirit. He's strengthened by the Spirit of God. He's walking according to the will of God. He's walking according to the Spirit. And we look at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit will have manifest the character of God, the qualities that we should have in the Lord. Galatians chapter 2, verse 22-23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. But one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that I want to highlight is the last aspect. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So notice, an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And as we noted earlier, self-control is an important aspect of being strong in the Lord. It enables us to persevere in the truth. It enables us to bring our body under subjection, our emotions under subjection. And you see here the kind of attitudes, the qualities, the characteristics of those who are strong in the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, and self-control. All these are the qualities of those who are strong, not just momentary, but this should be a continuing experience of depth and quality the stronger we are in the Lord. We notice when we consider the world's idea of strong and being strong, powerful, that's often associated with a desire to do as they please, their personal ambitions. But it's helpful to take note that if we desire to aspire in the direction that we've been considering today, if we want to be truly strong, if we want to aspire to true strength, then it cannot be with a desire to do as we please and for our personal ambitions, because being truly strong is in the context of doing the will of the Lord. It's in the context of love for God and faithfulness to Him. We just look at one verse, Proverbs 31. Although this point should already come through quite clearly in the various passages that we've considered, let's look at Proverbs chapter 31. It's Psalm 31. Psalms 31, verse 24. The psalmist exhorts us, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. The psalmist exhorts us to be strong, and we want to be strong. And if we want to be truly strong, we want to aspire to be strong, let us notice the context. Be strong so that our heart can take courage. We can face situations well, with courage, with strength. It's in the context of all who hope in the Lord, or in the margin, wait for the Lord. The kind of faith, confidence, looking to God. And the context of verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you His godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful. It's in the context of loving the Lord and being faithful to God that we can consider meaningfully being strong. Let us be careful. It's not just to have a sense of power so that we can accomplish what we desire, to fulfill our personal desires and ambitions. Be truly strong. It's the context. If we aspire to be truly strong, it's the context of our love for the Lord, our desire to be faithful to Him, that we can then be truly strong. This is being truly strong. from the perspective of God's kingdom, in contrast to that of the fallen world. In the fallen world, we often hear that power corrupts. And some say absolute power corrupts absolutely. But in the kingdom of God, it's the opposite. The more we grow strong in the Lord, the more we know the power and true power, it helps us to be pure, holy, faithful to the Lord, walking in truth. There are a number of points that are helpful for us to take note of in relation of being truly strong in the Lord and what we've been considering just now, but we have no time to go through them today. I'll just end with one note for us to bear in mind. A concluding remark in our consideration today on aspiring to be truly strong, what is involved in being truly strong, what are the issues involved, some issues to bear in mind as we seek to develop in that direction. When a concluding remark, helpful for us to bear in mind the important prerequisites and the process. Important prerequisites and the process. I mentioned just now, in one sense, the earlier remark of love for God, faithfulness to God, is also part of it. But to put it in a fuller sense, if you want to be truly strong in the Lord, important prerequisite is the prerequisite of consecration. We must begin with that. We cannot just try to be truly strong in a specific situation, crying out to God to strengthen us. That is not adequate. Neither can we try to concentrate on acquiring knowledge in various ways, trying to honor God. We must begin by consecrating our whole lives to the Lord. We looked at Romans chapter 12 just now. Paul encourages us to consecrate our lives to God, and then we can be transformed by the renewal of our minds. So the consecration of our lives is an important prerequisite. And this must be followed up and is closely linked with the importance of being empowered and being filled with the Spirit that Paul exhorts us in Ephesians chapter 5 to be filled with the Spirit. For we must be consecrated, and then we can look to the Lord to fill us with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God who strengthens us, who teaches us, who guides us, who helps us to be strong in Him, to live out, not to recognize the truth, but also to live it out. So these are two important prerequisites. The other is to take note of the process. That to grow strong in the Lord is a process. And the whole direction is unto the fullness of maturity in the Lord, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God, the full stature. So it's a process. And this, in this process, it is important for us to recognize the importance of responding well to God's training program for us. The training process He wants us to go through. That's the reason why He has placed us on this earth. The many varied situations of life that we go through, as well as the many trials and testings and difficulties. But it's not just difficulties alone. Many varied situations that we can then be perfected, complete, lacking in nothing, as James tells us in James chapter 1. So the very varied situations that we go through in life are intended to help us to grow strong in the Lord. And as we learn to go through, as we consecrate our lives to the Lord, experience the empowering the Spirit, we learn to go through well the different situations, to learn well, this then leads in the direction of moral, spiritual stature. It takes time to develop. Moral, spiritual stature cannot take place in a moment of time. But consecration can. At one moment of time, we can be consecrated. At one moment of time, we can experience the empowering of the Spirit. But the moral spiritual stature takes time to develop. But time alone does not mean we will develop well. Consecration, empowered, learning to go through well God's training process, this then leads in the direction of moral spiritual stature, strength, and stamina. and then we'll be properly grounded in truth, in love, in knowledge, guided and empowered by the Spirit. It's a brief description of what it means to grow strong, to be truly strong, not as the world sees it, but truly strong in the kingdom of God. We'll stop here for today. Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, recognize the importance, the vital importance of being truly strong. Let us ponder over the major aspects. Are there various areas that are rather lacking in our lives? Have we neglected development of our prayer life, our character? Are we rather deficient in our knowledge, in wisdom? Let us prayerfully ask the Lord to help us recognize what steps we need to take that we may be able to progress well in the direction of God's calling and desire for us, the spiritual stature in the Lord. Are we responding well to God's training process and program for us in the situations of life? Let us look to the Lord. Adopt a posture that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us and respond accordingly. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the depth of your love toward us. We thank you for all that Christ has done, provided for us. We thank you for your high calling. Yet, Father, we are also conscious of the weaknesses of the flesh, of the frailty of the body. And yet we know that we need not despair, because we can be strong in the Lord as we learn to watch and pray. And even as you exhorted Joshua to be strong, you also want us to be strong in the Lord. And even as Paul prayed for the Ephesians to be strengthened with power in the inner man, help us also to be concerned with the development of strength in our lives, in our inner man, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. Help us that we may not treat knowledge and wisdom as an extra option, as something that if we can have is helpful, but if not, it doesn't really matter. Help us to recognize